Oh, I tried to use the soundboard in a recording on Drunkcast, and yeah. I clicked it in the episode, but it didn't get picked up in the recording, and I didn't have time to fix it. Do you have to like go in and add it in?
You have to download the separate soundboard file.
There's, oh!
When you download the things, there's a separate soundboard file.
Okay. I'm not going to do that for this episode because it's a bullshit. It was Quizmo's Thunderdome and Snow and Sen laughed really hard at it. But now they're just laughing at nothing because I'm not going to edit back in because I'm lazy.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Oh, what a stench! It's fantastic!
And welcome everybody to your favorite stench, the Animate Plummet Podcast. I am today's host, Ed, and with me I got Gizmo.
Hello, the stench, that is us. The down in the plummet, the Grinch favorite.
And our favorite Casa Bonita enjoyer, King.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? What's going on, boys? It's good to be back. A little tired today, but it's good to be back with everybody.
Glad to hear everyone's doing well. How have you guys been? Anything new? What have you guys been up to?
First of all, we should mention that Mike is missing today, sadly.
Yeah. Our back end, our strong pusher, our
main Grinch,
our lowly enjoyer, Mike is out today for his wife's birthday, so he's gonna be a busy boy today. Forever in our thoughts. R.I.P. Mike.
Yeah, no, he's good though. He's staying out of the doghouse, which, as you guys know, I'm all about. So good for Mike for staying out of the doghouse. We miss you, buddy. But we'll see you next time for some good stuff.
Yep. All right. What have you guys been up to? Anything new? Any shenanigans y'all have been up to?
Yes. The listeners might hear from my voice. I'm a little tired and hungover today. That is because last night I got the luxury of going to the world famous Casa Bonita outside of Denver, Colorado. And if you're familiar with South Park, you'll know what Casa Bonita is. And the best way I can describe it is like it's a miniature Mexican Disney World where there's it's like a restaurant, a bar, and then they have all this like forms of entertainment, both family friendly and for adults. So there was like an adult themed puppet show that you could go to, which was really wild and crazy to see. The guys from South Park bought it.
Is it all like Mexican stereotypes?
Yeah. It's all Mexican stereotypes stuff.
And also but like nothing says Mexican Disneyland more like Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah. What else was cool about it? Yeah, the food was terrible. The drinks were pretty decent, though pricey. They had cliff divers, so you could watch people dive off a miniature cliff into this like little rinky dink pond area, which was fun for a minute. They had a magician with a magic show, which was pretty cool. So like it's a family themed thing, but because the guys from South Park bought it, they've made it more adult and they've put elements of South Park in it. There's a giant Cartman statue you can get a picture with. It's just a wild trip. This thing's been around since like the 1970s. So if you're
the creators of South Park bought it,
yeah, because they grew up in Colorado and they looked at it as like a historical landmark thing and they're like, let's renovate it, let's make it nicer. Apparently it used to be really crappy.
Yeah, they also made an episode about it before they even bought it or anything. It was like a staple in their lives.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very funny episode of South Park, but man, are their margaritas strong? So I'm feeling it today, boys. I know we're supposed to bring a lot of hate and a lot of energy, but
King's all about the love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know me. I love. I don't want to hate. But I'm ready. You know what? But I am ready to get to some hate here in a little bit.
What have you been up to, Gizmo?
Oh, nothing much, really. I have nothing to report. But I'm always down for some hating, you know me. Actually, I think I'm the main Grinch of this podcast. That's me.
I believe it.
And as you guys might have noticed from their themes, today we're doing a Grinch episode. We're going to be talking about things we don't like in anime and manga, and we'll see where our hatred takes us. But before that, King, do you have some links for us?
Yes, good listener. It's the episode after our 1 year anniversary, which we're still riding high on and enjoying. Go check out that latest episode, of course, in our catalog. I want you to go check out links.animesummit.net. There you're going to find all the information about our podcast here, Anime Plummet, as well as our big sister show, Anime Summit, with Sam, Danny, and Nick. We have some things cooking with them, so stay tuned. We've got, we're planning the next year out, so we're going to do some special things with them. Go check out our catalog with all of those cats as well. It's always fun. So stay tuned for some more fun stuff with the Anime Summit crew. There, you're also going to find access to our Discord. All the Plummet hosts, all the Summit hosts, a whole bunch of our friends that have guested on the show hang out there. Just a great online community. People talking, people sharing. I saw one of my favorite things I just realized about Discord is that's where I get like most of my anime news, because somebody is always pulling the trigger of like, I'm the first one to break that. There's going to be a new Chainsaw movie. I saw that today. I don't know if you guys saw that, but there's a plan to do one of the arcs as a movie for Chainsaw Man. So that's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty hype on that. I'm enjoying it so far. But yeah, in addition to the Discord, you also get access to the Patreon for like $1 a month. You're going to get early access to both of our shows, Anime Plummet and Summit, as well as some cool bonus content and stuff like King's Drunken Court, which please, please, please go check out the latest episode of that. By the time this is out, it'll be out. Patrons should have access to it pretty soon too. I had our good friends Sen and Snowman join us, and they have been guests on the show before, and that was a lot of fun. You know, all we did was talk about Manga Club and kind of just our histories with it, what we've read, what we've like, things we've enjoyed. We got some good anecdotes about Ed and Gizmo in there, so please go check that out. That's just a fun happy hour.
I have in the box
only good things
ready to type out the angry kitty I always post.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anecdotes. You're like, somebody's talking shit.
I can guarantee it.
Oh, absolutely. And the only last announcement I want you guys to stay tuned for is I actually got to do record with JD from Anime Bros Podcast. He's doing this really cool series called JD's Quest for the One Piece. And it's just he'll read an arc of the story and then record his thoughts about it, maybe have some guests on. And both me and Ed are the One Piece heads. We absolutely love it. So we covered Whole Cake Island and Zoa arc, and shout out Sanji, best boy forever. I love you, Sanji, marry me. And who's your favorite One Piece character?
I'm a Zoro guy.
Classic, classic. Yeah, I like it. That's dope. So that's everything with the announcement. So once again, go check out Anime Bros Podcast. And that link again is links.animesummit.net for everything. Just cool and hateful too. Now let's get on with the hate.
Now let the hate flow through you. Because today we're gonna be talking about just things we don't like in anime. Like we all have that moment, you're like watching an anime, you're like, all right, this looks pretty good, and then this happens, you're like, god damn it. And today we're gonna talk about these things. Gizmo, how about you start us off with things you hate?
Sure. So how do we start? Do we go with the big one first? Let's
pick one off your list and we'll go through it.
Yeah. So the big one for me is comedy.
That's funny. You hate to laugh.
Yeah. Was right when he called himself the Grinch of the pod.
Yeah, that's so funny.
I mean, you guys heard me talk about comedy and anime a bunch of times on the podcast. I don't know if we should go super deep into the I think comedy is obviously very subjective. I think comedy is very hard to translate. And as someone who grew up with German television, where like every American sitcom you can think of that came over to Germany is dubbed in German television.
Right.
And when I was switching my viewing habits to watching stuff in the original, in English, I noticed that a lot of sitcoms suddenly became very funny. I was like, whoa. sitcoms are actually way more funny than I'm used to, because a lot of jokes are either not translatable at all, like because of grammar, of sentence structure, of just wordplay that doesn't work in other languages, or just also because of cultural differences. And I think like between the US and Europe and also Germany in specific, the cultural differences are not super big. So most of the comedy still works. But for something like Japan and the US, or Japan and Germany, the cultural differences are very significant, and a lot of comedy just doesn't work for us because we don't get it.
I think it's because you're not as simple-minded as me, Gizmo, because I do enjoy some slapstick, like dumb goofy stuff. But
that's another issue.
Those are more like universal comedy stuff, though.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not a big fan of silly comedy, and I know that is very me specific. A lot of people like silly comedy, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm like super, I'm so sophisticated, I only like intelligent comedy or anything. I can laugh at stupid comedy as well, but a lot of like the super silly comedy just doesn't do anything for me.
Here's a question I have for you. Can you think of any show where you're like, I liked how they did the comedy there?
In anime or in general?
Let's do anime. Let's keep it to anime. Anything in anime at all, or that you're like, because truly, I feel like you still laugh. I'm thinking it back to our girlfriend series. You will laugh if you're like, this is dumb, and I'm laughing because this is dumb, and I don't actually like.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of anime that I think are really funny. Like Kaguya-sama, for example. I think that's
great,
amazing, and I think it's very hard to really dig into why someone likes specific comedy or doesn't like, right? It's
sure
comedy just sometimes it just works, even if usually you would not like this type of comedy. And I think Kaguya-sama is also, it's not like highbrow comedy or anything, or subtle at all. It's also very in your face a lot of the times, and very silly, but there's something about it that just works for me. I think it helps that a lot of the comedy is like physical comedy and not really has nothing to do with like Japanese culture in particular. It's very, very hyperactive physical comedy. So
yeah. And then I think of manga, it's even harder at times to pull off comedy in manga.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're taking out, you can get some, you know, you can get comedy from sound effects, you know, just from watching anime, just like a boing, like that's always good. But manga especially can be rough, because you're like, ooh, it's, you really got to sell it.
And other shows I think have great comedy is, for example, I mentioned last episode, The Devil's a Part-Timer. That was like really the first more or less pure comedy anime that I enjoyed. And also Hinamatsuri. I don't even know if you guys
I love Hinamatsuri.
One. Yeah, that shit is so funny. Yeah. But again, I can't really pinpoint the reasons why I like certain comedies and don't like others. It's hard to say.
Yeah, but more often than not, you don't want comedy in your anime.
And that's another thing about comedy. There's so many aspects that I don't like about comedy and anime. Another aspect is that anime, it feels like every story needs comedy. And I don't understand why. Like even rather serious topics or shows in general just get these comedy moments that feel so out of place and take you out of the atmosphere they're trying to build up. And it's a bit the Marvel movie problem, where every serious situation needs a one-liner at the end, you know, so that is not too serious, you know, you have to goof off, and it's not something I need.
That's fair. I like that. That makes sense. I've seen, there's some bad comedy shticks out there too, where you just roll your eyes or anything like that.
Yeah.
Especially in ecchi shows, they like rely on the same bullshit, but that's a different topic.
And there's one thing that I also wanted to mention is repetition. Repetition in comedy is, inside jokes are one thing, but if you don't iterate on the joke and just repeat the same joke over and over and over again, then it's terrible. I hate it.
Yeah.
but that's a whole other point that we will get to later.
All right, King, what makes you all Grinch like? In anime.
I really, really wish Mike was here because he might have a bone to pick with me.
Ooh, is this a direct shot?
This is a direct attack on Mike. And maybe we can figure out a way to get his thoughts later, or we can have a little bonus content with him. That would be cool. So we'll talk with Mike about it. But the thing I probably hate most in anime, and this can spread off to many topics, is the idea of the lolly. I fucking hate lollies because like lolly characters are one of the reasons why it can like fuck up a show for recommendation.
Yeah, it's hard to recommend a character when there's like a lolly MC type of character or a very like in the main cast, because things always tend to get awkward.
Yeah, because the problem is, yeah, thank you. Like, It's the weird, especially when they sexualize the lolly. It's uncomfortable. I hate it. I don't know. Like, I know who this is for, and it's gross.
Yeah, for sure.
Now saying that, I want to carve out two exceptions. Okay. If you just give me deadpan lolly that is only there for comedic relief, and you don't put them in any sort of romantic or weird situations, that can be funny. I do appreciate a deadpan lolly sometimes. And the other is ancient grandma lolly. There's just something funny about that. I think of the best example I can think of is like Bisky from Hunter Hunter.
Okay.
When she's in her, she's in her child form, but isn't she like 70 something years old?
Yeah, she's a lot older, but she knows how to use that nen.
Yeah, she knows how to use that nen, and she's really just a muscle mommy, which shout out muscle mommies, but she's funny because just like her role is very specific in the show, and you know, so we can make certain exceptions, but like just in general, stop with the lollies.
King, so you're telling me to say no to little lolis, but yes to muscle mommies.
Yeah, see, now we're talking about the positives. We need more muscle mommies in anime. But and you know, it's just the thing, like I said, I wish they wouldn't, like, you could always age up a character, and to me, you could still make them funny, you could still make them have the specific role. And anime that is just about like little ass kids is usually not for me. The only one I can think of is Made in Abyss, which is the worst. Like, talk about a show you can't share with people, man. Like, we have a lot of friends in our Discord who really enjoy that show, but just the whole fascination with the lolly aspect just really kills it for me at times. And you can't recommend it to friends, and that's because you have to recommend it to experienced people that understand the context of all of this. And I think that's kind of my big pet peeve with everything, is it can ruin a show to recommend that I would love to share with more people, or get the merchandise, but you can't, if you own copies of Made in the Abyss, you're on a list. I'm sorry. And that's what I got for, that's all I got for this one. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything or defend what would Michael be like? Yeah, but they're awesome.
No, Michael would be like, oh, but they're so cute.
Yeah. And no, I'm sure he agrees with me on certain things, though. I know, like, he feels the same way about Made in Abyss and everything. So we're teasing Mike a little bit. And I know I feel like he would agree with me on a lot of these points.
Yeah, I would agree in general, too. And also about the deadpan lollies. Deadpan lollies are funny sometimes. Sometimes.
Let's not overuse it. All right. But yeah, let's move on to the next one.
King, one more question, though. What about the vampire lolly 300-year-old type archetype?
That's just like...
Oh my God, what was the name? What was
See, that I don't want to... I don't even bother on record answering that question because I don't want to get on a list either.
like a dance in the vampire bund.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's that. What about a homegirl from... Artie Fartel, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, bro, that's a very you just common had archetype. To pick. Yeah, why did... like? And that's his main squeeze. And it's like, dude, you have so many more age-appropriate... yeah,
Dragon Girl and Bunny characters. Girl are right there.
Yeah. Shout out Fish Mommy, too. So Fish Mommy is also around the corner.
Age-appropriate in more than one way, because she's like 300 years old. She's grooming him.
Yeah, that's also weird, too. Yeah, you also, I don't like grooming lollies either. I don't want that. But yes, hate to lollies.
Let's either way you spin it, it's inappropriate.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
All right, now I'm going to give you guys one thing I hate in anime. The really unnecessarily loud characters. I'm talking like your Asta from Black Clover, your Bakugos. Oh, like, why are you yelling, bro? Chill the fuck out. Yeah. And like there's no reason why you need to be so angry and loud all the damn time.
And I feel like it's also part of, I feel like it's supposed to be funny in a lot of ways.
Ooh, like crossover.
Very loud screaming characters. That's also something that I hate.
Yeah, like absolutely. I just find like those type, like really, like Bakugo, for example, he's always like that. Unless like you get that one emotional scene, but that's about it. Like that's him. That's who he is. Asta kind of slows it down. Like after like 20 episodes, he's not as yelly, but he's still pretty over the top.
A character historically I can think that was a yelly guy for too long was Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. And I feel like only till later, somebody was just like, bro, chill.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to yell everything.
King, you don't understand. This is the first time he saw a power level over 9,000. He has to yell.
Anyone can always make me laugh with the stupidest. There's so many dumb quotes from anime that if you just recite them to me, I will always it'll always get me. I think of so currently I'm up to date with a 100 Girlfriends show, mm-hmm. which is very silly and stupid. I'm still enjoying it, but the one girlfriend who has. She's like the tsundere character, and they even refer to her as that. She is constantly. You know, she's always at a 10 when talking and everything. And
orange hair girl?
Yes. Yeah. That one. I can't remember her name right now, but her loudness and it's like you said, it's supposed to be comedic, but you can't keep relying on it. It might be funny here or there, but otherwise it's just getting beat over the head with it. So I get your point, Ed. All right, let's move on to the next one. Gizmo, it's your turn.
Right. So my next one might be a bit controversial.
Yeah, I hate this. I hate this opinion right here, just so you know.
I didn't agree with Gizmo's comedy one, so we'll see how the rest of his list pans out.
It's Beach Episode. Now, hear me out. Wow. Okay?
Wow. What do you know. Think? Wait, this podcast is built on beach episodes.
I know here in the Plummet we are stands for unnecessary fan service, but first of all, I want to say beach episodes in romantic comedies or romantic dramas or something where romance and where like or harems or whatever, I'm totally fine with. I think they have a place there, and then they can even advance the story or the relationship of the characters, whatever. But beach episodes in non-romantic shows, like in serious shows, I'm thinking there was one episode in Classroom of the Elite, in the second season, where they go to the beach, and it's just stupid filler, and it's non-canon, and it doesn't drive the plot. It's just I skipped that episode, and I think anime has these tropey things, like festivals, like fireworks. It's always something that has to be in every show.
Do these include like the trip to Hokkaido's for Golden Week?
Yeah.
Or like the water park episodes where they're like, oh, they just opened up this amusement park / water park. Let's go.
Yeah. Or the onsen episode. I think in some shows they have their place, but again, it's similar to the comedy where I don't need that in every show. And beach episodes a lot of times are just wasted time.
I feel like it's standard business in any like slice of life / comedy / light romance show.
Mm-hmm. There's just this season alone, fall 2023, I think like three or four of the anime that we're reviewing had either, like, we'll just call them beach episodes, but like you said 100 Girlfriends did, they just called it the swimsuit episode, and I think they even had a funny title, and it's called like everyone's favorite swimsuit episode or something. Like, that's the name of the episode itself, which, yeah, that's meta. That's super funny and meta.
I mean, that show is super meta, and they play around with that sort of stuff. It's like a satire, right?
But
it makes sense that they include that. And again, if it's just a funny rom-com situation, then I don't mind. But a lot of animes that have beach episodes that don't need beach episodes. Like, I'm thinking of Another, for example. Do you remember that horror anime?
I remember.
And I was like, this is so stupid. Why?
Why are we doing this?
Yeah, why are we here? Yeah.
No, beach. I get it. If it's, I would say, make this stuff like OVAs, which I know, I think Ari Ferretta, instead of doing a beach episode in their season, they just did an OVA special. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to if you want to watch those or not. They don't add anything to the story, but
yeah.
I'm starting to notice that they're carving out specific episodes for these beach episodes. But man, it's like when we were kids, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit thing, like edition, but that was like a once a year. That was a big deal for me and my friend group. I don't know if it was the same for you guys, but if here's the thing. If you do it too much in every season, it just kind of loses its scant, you know, its,
yeah, yeah,
its naughtiness to it. It becomes too available almost.
We could extend this point to include filler episodes in general. I hate filler, and it feels like it's not really much of an issue anymore. But it used to be that like shows like Dragon Ball or Naruto was the worst. I used to not understand the concept of fillers, right? When I watched Naruto back in the days, and I watched everything, and after like 50 episodes of filler content, I was like, why is this show so bad now? I don't understand.
Back to the fight. What's going on here?
Yeah, and filler just repeats the same themes over and over again, and really, really get on your nerves.
Yeah, that's like one issue I have. Well, not necessarily filler, but it's used as a way to avoid filler. I've been watching One Piece, and a lot of the fights are like panning shots or super zoomed in fights to their faces that they reuse a lot during the fights. So it's like it's their way to avoid making filler episodes, so making a chapter stretch out as much as possible for an episode. But yeah. It's just, it kills the what's it called, the timing of the episode, the momentum.
The pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kills the pace of it. So I could see where you're going with that.
And the worst thing is, even nowadays, when you know what filler is, the concept of filler, sometimes you look up filler episodes in a show, in a long-running show, and they have episodes that are pure filler and pure canon, and then there are sometimes episodes that have that are like half filler. But there's still something in there that's
important for the plot.
I have to watch this shit episode for the 5 minutes of not filler in it. It's the worst. At least with pure filler episodes, you can just skip them and don't lose anything.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. But shame on you. Shame on you. I hate this opinion. Just so you know. If Mike was here, he would agree with me. We enjoy our Mike.
Yeah,
I miss you right now.
On this one.
I really wanted to see Mike's expression when I said that, but
I feel like Mike's getting attacked explode. By both of you two. How dare you? first of all, taking down his lollies and now his beach episodes.
This is just a We Hate Mike episode. It'll be like We Hate Mike stuff episode.
Yeah, how is he supposed to defend himself?
No, we love Mike.
Can you give us something you hate?
Yes. Okay. Here's one thing. Okay. I don't understand what's going on in Japan, but we need to start aging up all of our characters into college. Anything to deal with romance, anything to do with hanky panky. There's so many shows out there that they're like, I'm a senior in high school and here's some weird stuff that's about to happen to me, or I'm exploring my sexuality, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, if he was 18 and a freshman in college, but you could, all the stories could be exactly the same.
But you could explore them more in depth.
There you go. Exactly. It's just like all high school rom-coms, romances, everything you can think of. If you just put them in college, like, would the essence of the show still be there? And my thought is, yes, you could have, I'm sure they have festivals and stuff at universities. I'm sure there's still sports competitions if you need like a sports day bullshit episode. I don't know. But it's just it's so weird. They play it fast and loose a lot of times with the sensei and student thing too. And this is just also like, well, I mean, here's the thing. College professor and freshman, still inappropriate, but like legal at least. So like, could we just do that? I'm thinking back to, I took my wife to see the Fruits Basket movie, which was a prequel. And here's a spoiler. There's some there is a teacher and a student relationship, and she, it like,
oh, no.
Everybody in the theater groaned unanimously when we all realized you could hear like a, or just like a, yeah. Ah, shit. and sorry, Danny, I'm dunking on this. It's fucking weird, dude. Like, it's strange. Like it's I think Toru is the main girl's name. It's her parents. And her dad is a teacher. Her mom is a student. And when they meet,
really?
Yeah. So it's super fucking inappropriate and weird, dude. And it took, I wanted to take my wife. I love Fruits Basket. There's some weird, there's not too much weird, crazy stuff in there, but the movie, why did the dad have to be a senpai teacher? Like, why couldn't this have happened in college?
It's such
understand.
A common trope. It's just a common kink, I think. Like, the teacher-student thing is just, it's naughty, it's taboo, it's, and that makes it spicy, I guess. I mean, porn, I can kind of see it. Like, sure, go ahead, like, whatever floats your boat, but again, it's something that is not, you don't want to see in a normal anime, right?
No. That's the thing. And it might be a barrier to certain folks. Like, some people might be like, no, it's uncomfortable. I don't care about context. I don't want to watch this. And it's like, ah, damn, I don't think it adds anything ever to this scandalous thing. So let's age it up, everybody. So, look at me. I'm just being Mr. Politically Correct King over here, too,
yeah.
By the way.
That's very unplummet-like from you.
Very unplummet-like for me.
The thing is, what I want to say is, honestly, I don't... I used to think like this, too, and I mean, I still do, but the thing is, I kind of don't care anymore. I think it's...
Yeah.
It might as well... I'm just... In my head, I think I'm just imagining it being in college most of the time, because it doesn't matter for anime. Like, there are some anime in college and they might as well play in school and the vice versa. So...
Yeah. The one thing I can totally understand, though, is that what the argument would be is, like, King, the most people who consume anime are young people in high school, probably. Mm-hmm. And they want to be able to see themselves represented. So I'm like, okay, I get that. Like, I like Dawson's Creek and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all high school shows when I was growing up. So I get that. But I do like how anime is taking a new, like a step in the right direction of like, let's make a anime about young adults in the workplace starting at, like, there's so many office anime and rom-coms and dramas or comedies, and I'm like, yeah, this is nice, because they realize that we're like a huge demographic of their audience is aging. So I think yeah. that's a great step. I think of the Snowman Office rom-com yeah, that just came out.
My Tiny Senpai is Annoying or something.
Yeah, there's that one.
These kinds of shows. Yeah.
These kinds of shows. More of this stuff. So I'm enjoying that we're getting aged up stuff. So that's the positive out of our hate.
And I think the concept of these shows is basically the same as like the high school, college shows.
Yeah.
Where like people are kind of forced into the same group. Like they don't have a choice. So they have to interact. And that's where kind of the comedy / romance aspects can shine. I think
100%. So let's get more of that kind of stuff. But that wraps it up for me with one of my big pet peeves and hates of anime.
Nice. I'm gonna hit you with one that we've seen a lot of, especially being part of this podcast. The super dense MC. Like, bro, just be a real person for once. Like,
oh, 100%.
Like everything, like we've all seen the episode where like they'll say something, they just pretend not to hear it. Or something, it's like you heard it. Like these characters are only making things more awkward for themselves in the future by ignoring it all.
Who are some of the great dense characters? I can think of one guy who's super dense is the girlfriend protagonist.
Most harem,
just any harem anime MC, ever. Right?
Yeah, and it's just like, bro, she likes you. Fucking get with it. Even like, yeah, High School DxD, that motherfucker is dense as hell. He's like, well, I'm too nervous and shy around Rias. And she's just like, dude, I'm about to like gluck all over this, all right? So like, let's roll.
I think for harem shows, it's almost a necessity that the MC is super dense, right? Because otherwise, like with all sexual situations, a normal person would have had sex already with all of these girls.
It'd be a two-episode anime is what you're trying to
do. Yeah. it would turn into a hentai. I don't know.
So, yeah, I guess really quickly it goes into that dark.
I'm not saying they have to fuck really right fast. Away, but like when the craziest thing that happens in the show is like they held hands or something. It's like because they were just stalling the whole first 11 episodes. Like that. That stuff gets annoying. Like I understand, like, oh, they're trying to sell manga, they're trying to do this. I want more of a complete story.
I mean, a lot of the romance anime and harem anime, they thrive on the sexual tension in the room, kind of. And right. For that to be a thing, you can't jump into stuff too quickly. So I think that's the main reason why we have so many dense MCs in these kinds of shows.
Yeah, and it comes in all forms, too. Yeah, because there's... You have your edgy shows, you have your harem shows where there's going to be dense guys. But like I said, I'll bring it back to the Snowman show, the Snowman Office show, which is super cute and wholesome. But he's like, ooh, I don't think she likes me. And and this can apply to ladies too. You know what I mean? This doesn't have to be dudes. This can apply to ladies. And it's like,
in shoujo, that's definitely also a thing. So it's not only male characters, for sure.
Whatever we're reading right now in Manga Club for today, it's Something at Dusk.
In the Clear Moonlit Dusk.
In the Clear Moonlit Dusk. Come join us on links.animesummit.net. Come check out the Discord where you'll find Manga Club, which we meet Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nice little plug right there. And in this story that we're reading this week, the couple quickly, like, you know, becomes boyfriend and girlfriend. Spoilers. And, you know, there's like... a will they, won't they, but the guy is being pretty aggressive when he's like, no, I like you and I want to hold your hand and I want to do this. And like, you know, there can be some good pacing there around that. But it's nice seeing a forward thinking like romance where things are happening. And it's just because we get so little of it, I'm like, ooh, this is exciting.
I will disagree with you in Manga Club, but that's not... not something
well, I here. Well, you know what, because of that I hate you, so how about that?
Oh wow.
And it spills into the podcast.
There we go. Now we got our first. I was like, who's gonna say I hate you first? And no, obviously I love Gizmo. He's my
things
boy.
We hate king.
And on to my next point. It's King and Gizmo.
No. I hate this podcast. I don't know. But
one last thing I want to say about the Dent MC. I'm going to bring a point back that I talked about in our Rent-A-Girlfriend review episode. I think also one aspect is why there's so many Dents MC characters that people like to feel superior to others. And when we watch a show and the main guy that we are supposed to relate to does very dense stuff, then we think to ourselves, wow, if I was in that situation, I would
do better. Yeah.
And I think that's part of the appeal.
Yeah. Oh, if I was in high school DxD, I'd be banging all of the demon girls. Like, it's, yes, I get your point about that. That's a very good point to it. So, but still hate.
All right, Gizmo, hit us with one thing you hate.
Another thing I hate is anime tends to over explain everything, and there's a lack of subtlety in a lot of anime, and even anime that is not like, you could argue, okay, anime is a lot of anime is made for a younger audience, and even there I would say trust your audience a bit to maybe think about stuff and don't spell everything out for them. Like, every metaphor has to be explained. I don't think that's that's true. And even for shows that are mainly targeted at like a teenage audience, for example, teenagers are also not stupid. They can pick up on stuff. And even if they maybe don't get it right away, you take away the moment of them like thinking about a certain situation that they maybe don't understand at first and then figuring it out. And that can be a super cool moment to have. And I think there are some anime that do this better, like Neon Genesis Evangelion, for example. I think there's a lot of stuff there that is not explained. It's characters react in a certain way. And at first you might think, wow, why is Shinji not getting in the robot? You know, and a lot of people are like, oh, this is such an annoying character. But when you think about it, no one ever tells you that it's all a metaphor for depression and all the stuff that's going on in Evangelion. But it's cool when you think about it and figure it out for yourself. And I think that's a part of the appeal of Evangelion, for example, and why this show is so beloved even 30 years after its release.
100%. Less is more with expose. And boy, do we read a lot of stories in Manga Club where they're like, the best example I can think of is in Tokyo Ghoul, when they have to explain every single breakdown of how like the power system works. And it's like, oh, well, you have a kinkei, and a kinkei is made up of these kind of cells, but these kind of cells over here make a different kind of kinkei, and you have this kind of one. And you're like, dude, nobody's here for this shit. Like, we're here for the romance between the ghouls. Like, come on now.
When I think about this stuff, there's one scene from Monster that always comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try to keep this as vague as possible, not to spoil anything. It's not the big spoiler anyway. But there's a character in Monster that is very manipulative. And in one scene, we see like a flashback, I think. It's been years since I watched Monster, so bear with me. It might not be exactly how it is in the anime, but there was a massacre taking place where like a bunch of people killed each other. And that one manipulative character was kind of the reason why this happened. And when they explained how that happened, the character explaining took like a cloth that was soaked in oil and just threw it into an open flame. And that metaphor, especially in the context of the episode, was very clear. Like, most people that get to that point in Monster will definitely understand, okay, the manipulative character, he just puts oil on the fire, right? It's not especially subtle, but still they felt the need to explain, oh, this means he put oil in the fire and he manipulated the people to kill each other. And I was like, It was yes. a perfectly solid metaphor. You don't have to explain this. You don't have to hold my hand so much. It's annoying.
That is really, really funny. I forgot about that scene too. And I don't know if you knew this, Gizmo, but that was actually my first story that I read in Manga Club when I joined many moons ago. Was Monster.
Yeah. And Urasawa, I mean, he writes stuff for adults, right? It's not really children's story he writes, or even for teenagers, I would say. And he does this a lot, that he just explains everything and is. But that's a whole other story. I think in general, we can say that anime a lot of times is not very subtle, and I wish they would trust their audience a little bit more in general.
All right. King, what's your next Grinch misactivity?
I'm skipping around my list because I do want to spend some time on this one. And that is the most popular trope in anime, I feel like, right now. And that is Harry Potter magic school themed anime. Oh, boy. Already, right when I said that, you, the listener, have an idea in your mind of a show. You're like, yep, that's Harry Potter. Especially recently, it feels like we're just getting over inundated with so many magic school that just like blatantly every season we are reviewing shows that I'm like, this is just Harry Potter. I'm thinking of from last season, it was the Seven Spellblade show, which was it ends up being pretty mid for me. But like they have the troll in the dungeon. There's a troll. Thought you should know. And then we have basically have Quidditch.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and okay, yeah. The other one that's going to be coming out next season. Though I enjoyed that show, not because of the magic school elements. I just like the idea of like, look at all these magic nerds. What if we just beat them up? And there's something enticing to me. There's so many times when I would read Harry Potter, and I'm like, I would just punch Draco Malfoy in the mouth. Like I would just punch him straight in the mouth. I think Hermione does that at some point too. And I'm like, yeah, more physical violence with children. But what else, like what other shows can we think of that is just, this is just Magic School, the Harry Potter story? Like
honestly, I can't think of too many, but I know what you mean, because that's also something I think if we expand this to trends in general, like the villainous shows, for example. We get every season, we get one or even two villainous shows. Same, obviously, with isekai stuff. So trends in anime are very weird sometimes, where you get a new show that has a new concept, and suddenly, like the next couple of years, every season has one of these shows. Yeah, basically gets the same concept.
It felt that way when isekais first started too. Like out of nowhere, everyone was just getting pulled into a fantasy world by an elf girl or something.
Yeah.
Oh, the one this season where a returner's magic should be special. Let's go back to magic school. We're reviewing it right now. Unfortunately, as of this moment, I've dropped the show after four episodes. Will I pick it up before the review, which is...
Whoa, spoilers.
That'll be our first episode of the year. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But like...
I want to say it's not worth it, sadly.
That one is following more of a trend in manhwa. That's a regression stories. So right now a huge trend is where you go to fight the final boss and you die, or something happens where you get betrayed by your crew, and then you go back to like when you first became an adventurer, and then you build back up from there trying to make it so it doesn't happen again. That type of story is very popular right now in like manhwas and webtoons and things like that.
I actually like that concept. I think it's that concept that originally hooked me to that show. But I've seen like six or seven episodes now, and I want to say it doesn't go anywhere interesting, sadly.
It's probably better if you read the webtoon to that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the show also doesn't look good at all.
Yeah, no,
it's
tough.
Low production value.
There's a fight scene. Oh, God.
Yeah. And it's exciting, too, because I just heard, I'm like, I want less Harry Potter magic shows, and... Warner Brothers has announced, they're like, hey, guess what? We're going to make more Harry Potter, means you're going to get more Harry Potter anime in the future. They're going to like recast it or make it a series. I don't know. I just don't want it, man. Like, give me a little break. Like, just give me some time. Let's go check out some other fantasy. There's so many other, like, interesting stories we can tell. Pump the brakes, Harry Potter. And that's all I got. All
right. One thing that I hate in anime is the random fan service that doesn't belong there. We've all been there when you're watching two characters just talk, and then out of nowhere you get a really low panty shot for no reason whatsoever, and then it goes back to their faces. It's like, come on, dude.
I am surprised this is coming from you, Ed.
I know. Look,
Mike is stirring again. Mike is he's like, fuck you guys.
Like, no.
Even Ed has betrayed me.
If we're watching like a high school DxD, then that's to be expected or something. But if you're just watching like a random like rom-com or something, and then it comes up out of nowhere, that's what I really don't like. It's like unnecessary. Like, if it fits, it fits. So like, oh, you walk into someone changing, it happens, blah blah blah. You're supposed to see the panties or something, right? But
I can even accept it in rom-coms. It's shows that are mainly action shows, for example, where it annoys me. But
I mainly mean is like when you're supposed to see it, you see it, right? It's not like two people standing there and then you get a really low angle view for no reason whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that.
What are your thoughts on accidental boob grabs, for example?
Those can be pretty annoying too, but like, okay, something happens, like they collide into each other or something. Like, that makes sense. It's just like, what I'm saying is like, when
happens all the time.
Yeah, you have no idea how it happens all the time.
You have how many boobs I have grabbed by accident.
I've been running to school with toast in my mouth, and then someone crashes into me and grabs my boob. It's crazy.
now Ed, all I see you is in like a sailor school uniform too. Yeah,
that's what I wore to school every day, and I sprinted to class because I was always running late with my toast and jam totally. On it.
Yeah I mean, that's I think your point though is one that you've probably heard on many podcasts before, and people talk about it, just like random or the overuse of fan service. And it's like, if it's a show that's money and you know what you're getting into, I totally get it. The best example that's been beaten to death is that Fire Force show with the one girl who is just like, it's like she cannot breathe without fan servicing. Like, yeah. she's not even a person in that show. She's a fan service cat girl. Like, come on. She's a goddamn firefighter. Respect these people, okay? We gotta respect our firefighters.
And some of them try to justify it by making it like part of her power or something, right?
If I remember, yeah, right. Something like that. And I don't like that either. Like, come on, just
she had like the loot unlock ability or something stupid.
Yeah, there's that. Oh, and there's undead unlock too, which is the beginning is super fan servicey, and it. I don't want to get into it too much because me and Sam are going to do a special on Undead Unlock, but like, people get turned off by the fan service, and it's not about that. It's so much deeper, and it's just get to chapter 100. Yeah. I'm telling you that. I'm not just kidding.
One Piece logic.
Gizmo.
But at least that show has like equal opportunity fan service, because the dude is naked like 90% of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Gizmo, would you like to hit us with your next gripe?
Sure. The next one, I feel like we've already talked about it more or less. It's repetition.
repetition.
And I hate repetition.
Are you talking about repetition as in a story sense, or they just seem to do the same thing all the time, always?
It's everything. Repetition is so prevalent in anime. It's a repetition of themes, repetition of genres, of tropes, of specific scenes. Repetition of comedy obviously is the worst thing, because it combines like two things I hate: repetition and the comedy in anime. There is this joke in a bunch of shows, for example, Bento comes to mind, where there's a main character who's kind of dense and a girl that's kind of tsundere. And whenever these two characters meet, he does something that could be misconstrued and could be seen as lewd or whatever. And she's going to be, baka, and just hits him and he flies. He does the Team Rocket exit, basically. Kind of like the one trick. Flies away. Yeah. And this joke, they repeat this joke so much in this show that it's just so annoying. And it for me, it wasn't even funny the first time. And when you repeat it over and over and over again, it just becomes so annoying. I hate it. And
I can see that.
Jokes like this are so prevalent in anime. And yeah, it's tiring.
Yeah, I can see that. Because there's a lot of kind of, like, it was fine for like something like Pokemon where it's dumb, goofy. But when it's the same, like, kind of character archetypes clashing with the same motion every time.
It's also in Pokemon, honestly, I don't know. I mean, it's been ages since I last watched Pokemon. I watched it as a kid a little bit, and it was never that annoying for me because it felt like the running gag of Team Rocket, like, losing and getting flung into space, basically, at the end. It felt like a running gag where they changed it up a little bit every time. It's not just simply, they get smacked and fly away. It's somehow they integrated that into the story and into what happened. And so it can be fine, but if they just repeat the same thing in the exact same way over and over again, it just gets annoying.
Yep, I can see that. King, what you got for us?
I'm gonna group this in together because I am a Grinch about this topic, and it's how anime handles siblings. this is a twofold hate right now.
Can we include cousins into that too?
Let's include cousins. First cousins too. Let's throw them all in.
Yep.
Let's start with step siblings. Step siblings need to stop fucking each other in anime.
Oh no!
And let me say this. On top of that, first cousins need to stop fucking each other in anime. And to build on top of that, regular full-blooded siblings need to stop fucking in anime. I hate it. It's so fucking weird. I'm someone who I'm like, just this whole step, the whole sibling phenomenon that is striking the world right now in all sexual content is really, I don't get it. It's so strange. It's so weird. It's prevalent everywhere. But you know, and a question always comes up with these step sibling shows is, where are these goddamn parents? Where are the parents of this household? Okay, you guys are working too much in Japan. You need to take a step back and raise these children. Somebody take care of the children, okay? Because now we're talking about the children here.
Yeah, that right? One's bleeding into my next gripe too. how is this so commonplace? Where, my mom's in China studying or teaching. My dad's exploring the caves in Africa or something. It's like, bro.
Yeah, don't leave your kids alone.
Yeah, you got like
this. Don't leave your
14-year-old just in charge of the house by himself.
Yeah, like stop leaving your obviously children who are going through the motions alone with each other. That's you know what, this reminds me of a terrible trashy book and a made-for-TV movie. It's called Flowers in the Attic, and the main concept is that
you've told the story before.
Yes, thank you. I've told this. Yes, I was like, we don't need to do this. Just go look it up. It's evil grandma locking pubescent teenagers that are siblings in the closet or in the attic so that they're hidden away from the outside world. I think we know where this is going. Stop it. You need to stop doing that. Send your kids to normal school. Teach them responsibility at home. Be like, yo, don't fuck your sister. It's going to make things weird. We're married. Shout out Domestic Girlfriend and Girlfriend Smackdown from this year as well.
I wonder where this is coming from. Is it just that Japanese people don't have siblings? Is the birth rate so low that they don't understand that most people are not horny for their little sister? It's not even crossing their mind. I don't understand.
Yeah,
I mean, I understand that it's kinky again, right? It's the same.
That's what it is.
Teacher student thing. It's in porn, it's whatever, right? It's a kink. It's whatever floats your boat. But in normal S anime, just maybe leave it out. I don't know.
Yeah, and in romance shows, you always have the cousin who is a contender. And it's like, bro, it's not going to be you. You're the first cousin. And in this show, there's like, when they have some boundaries put up, it's like, bro, it was never going to be the first cousin.
It's also the same with the loli. Like, the harems also always have a loli character. Or not always, but sometimes also have a loli character. And it's never going to be the loli. Unless it's Arifureta.
Yeah, unless it's Arifureta. I'm thinking of, to your point, Gizmo, I was talking about, I recently just finished my first girlfriend as a gal. Because my brain has been poisoned and rottened. You know what? Another thing? I hate girlfriends. There you go. As a married man, I fucking hate girlfriends.
Your brain hasn't been poisoned. You've been enlightened.
Is your wife listening right now? Or why do you have to say this, King?
She's like right up on the door. I watched my first girlfriend as a gal. And one of the ladies in the running is... the little loli character who is well endowed, unfortunately, but she's also kind of like a sibling. They've been like childhood friends, that's like siblings, so they're just throwing in everything.
And is she also his teacher for some reason?
Yeah, but like that, so like all basically what we're doing is we're really just keep describing all the same shows that we hate, and it's everything we review. That's the honest, everything we watch and review we actually hate. That's what I'm realizing about this episode, is we have terrible taste in anime and we hate anime. So that's what's really going on. But yeah, so my number one beef, let's get away from sibling content, sub siblings. Shout out for normal siblings, Yosuga no Sora. That you're just bad.
I can't wait for that show.
Oh my gosh. Just terrible. So I think I only have really one more on here, by the way. So if you guys got more, keep it going. Otherwise, I can do another one.
You want to hit us with your last one, and then we'll see what we got left in the tank?
Yeah, that sounds good. This is just a pet peeve that's come up recently. And if this is a manga complaint, music in manga doesn't make any fucking sense. Okay? You cannot read. Well, I mean, obviously you can read melody if you know how to read music, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, shout out the One Piece heads out there. Let's talk about Whole Cake Island for a little bit, that arc.
It's really called Whole Cake Island?
Yeah.
Whole Cake Island. That's Jesus the name Christ. Of the specific island that they're traveling to.
It's a whole ass cake. The villain in Gizmo, I don't think you understand.
It's a whole ass cake is what we're trying to talk about.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this world is inanimate objects come to life, you know a la Disney style. So like mountains and sun and clouds are singing the whole time, and they're like, la la la, we live in this land and it's really great and everything's awesome, cool. But they print it out in the manga, and then they put like little musical notes, so in your head you're supposed to be like, oh, okay, they're singing. But like, why? It doesn't matter. You cannot read melody like that. It's super cheesy and dumb. And I've seen it. I know there's like a bunch of musical anime based on manga out there, and I just don't see how it crosses over. As a musician myself, it's weird, and it doesn't even. You're just like, okay, I'm just gonna read this as a normal person, and I'm not even gonna treat this as a music. I know there might be music going on, but I don't care.
Do you remember that song that was in 20th Century Boy, when a certain character comes back and it's like he's singing a song and you're like, okay,
it doesn't hit. It cannot hit because
and that song was so important for the story too. Like, you hear that song everywhere and characters recognize the song and it's like, oh, and you're like, okay, we don't even know what it's like.
Yeah, I don't know like. This song, so it doesn't make sense. So just stop putting music in manga. Save it for the anime guys. I'm sorry. It's just such a
make a manga that is like one of those like Christmas cards that when you open them up, you know, the music
starts playing. Oh, that'd be fun. Actually, that would be kind of cool. Like you were talking about for 20th Century Boys, if you opened up one of the hardbacks and like that song finally played, you're like, oh, okay, that's what it sounds. I kind of like, actually, it's very cheesy, but a very fun idea. I kind of like that. So look at, we're pulling the love out of the hate.
Have you seen those prank cards that do that, but you can't turn them off?
Oh yeah, like, yeah.
Once
yeah.
you open it, oh my god, yeah. Off.
Those are funny.
That's a good gag, especially with the holidays coming around. So yep. maybe check that out. But that's the last thing I had on my list for hating. So let's get music out of manga. It's just silly. Oda, don't be silly anymore. Stop it.
I got a couple.
Telling Oda to not be silly is like telling him to stop One Piece, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of which, are you going to watch his new series? It's coming into Netflix next month. I think it's called Monster or something like that, or Monsters.
No, I didn't. Oh, I didn't even know he had something new. This is breaking news for King.
Yeah, he has a second manga that he does on the side. And it's getting its own Netflix production.
That man is crazy. Doesn't he also not take any breaks ever? And he does a second manga?
I know, it's crazy.
Next to One Piece? Wow. All
right, I got one thing I hate. It's something that's been also happening in the movie industry. I like to call it the four movie trilogy, where they start coming out with extra parts and splitting cores. So this is season 2, part 2, when they could have just like, just make a new season, just call it season 3.
Mm.
And recently with Attack on Titans, where you have the final season and then you have the final movie, then you have the final movie part 2 or final season part 2. Like, is it really the final if you're just adding more to it? Come on, guys.
Shout out Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Attack on Titan was a very special case where like production was weird and they changed the studio.
Yeah, but I feel like it's happening a lot more just in general because it's been happening with movies. I think like
the split core thing definitely is happening a lot, right?
Yeah, it's something that kind of bugs me. Like, oh, we're still on the second season. This is, but the second half of the second season isn't coming for another year.
Yeah.
I don't like, yeah, just, it's, why, just call it season 3. It's not a big deal. Like, I don't get it. I feel like less people would judge it than how most people complain about this. It's like, especially, dude, just go back to how it used to be.
Yeah, especially when the core ends, they usually, like, button it up somewhat because it's an ongoing story no matter what. Like mm-hmm. you could have just called the next one season 3 or something. But it's always, like, the split cores and then the multi-part finishes and stuff like that. It's just annoys me.
I mean, okay, it is silly, but honestly, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Like, also,
I hate that you don't care.
Okay. the situation with Attack on Titan, sure, it was silly, but I think it's ridiculous how many people talked about Attack on Titan, and every time they talked about Attack on Titan, it's like, oh, it is final season part 3, episode 9/
Everybody
whatever.
Made fun of it.
Everybody, and I was like, okay, it's a bit awkward that they split it into so many parts, but I'd rather them take their time, finish it properly, instead of just rushing stuff out. So, who gives
sure,
a fuck?
But shouldn't honestly, that have been
planned? As long as you know.
Shouldn't that have been planned out?
Bad planning.
Yeah, it's like if you know you're not going to be able to finish it and you know you're going to have to do a movie and you know all these things, like they understand it ahead of time because the manga was done before they finished the anime.
I mean, they switched studio, right? And so there was probably a lot of stuff that they had to carry over, a lot of planning that involved. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously they fucked it up, right? I think it's safe to say that this did not go as planned. But why do people care so much? I don't understand. As long as you know where to start and where you left off, you know.
Yeah, but that also causes like a confusion with it too, right? As long as they add it to like as an episode at the end. But a lot of time, like, I don't know how you guys watch your anime, but if it's a lot of time the movies are split from the series, so you have to go back and find it. Or like on Crunchyroll, they do some weird stuff where it's like they put like a random like season 300 or something.
Yeah, I've seen that before
movies, and Crunchyroll it kind of messes with the flow of just trying to look for it. It like all this stuff should have been planned out.
You know, Ed, you bring up a good point, though. I hate Crunchyroll.
I just hate the way that they're organized, because certain things they finally added to where you could change the language in the player itself, but other times it's split. Like, they have season 1 like 4 times, but it's different languages.
It's different languages, yeah. Crunchyroll is such a mess. It's insane. Also, sometimes they have, like, skip intro buttons. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah, get more consistent.
sometimes they have a show out in Japanese without subtitles.
Yeah. What are we doing here? It's just, you know what? If you're going to be the monopoly of streaming anime, can you at least make it fucking nice for us? Come on. Like, come on, guys.
Make it at least on par with, like, piracy sites.
Yeah.
Piracy sites have so many better options and stuff. So it's ridiculous. And
yeah, just copy them. Just do what they're doing and make it an enjoyable experience. So I like how we slipped. We're like, yeah, yeah. Crunchyroll, we hate you too. You just made the shit list, Crunchyroll. Yeah. So figure it out. Also, High Divers.
Also,
That's another that they suck.
I don't have to deal with High Dive, so I can't. But another thing in Crunchyroll is, every time I open the page of Crunchyroll, I have to select English as my main language, like, because otherwise
they
translate like the titles in anime, and I don't want to remember two different titles for the same anime. It's stupid. So I always want it on English, and every time I open the site, I have to go back into the settings and change the language. Otherwise, it reverts back to German. It's so annoying. Get your shit together, Crunchyroll. Seriously.
Good. Gizmo, do you have any final gripes or Grinch-like things that you hate in anime?
Not really, no. I'm sure there is other stuff that I hate and just forgot about, but if I remember, I will do another Gizmo's Grinding Gear Garage at some point.
Nice.
There we go.
All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening. Our next episode will be our fall review. So that should be exciting.
That's going to be, we didn't even say this, guys. This is the last podcast of the year of 2023. Oh,
yeah, right. Let's go.
This is our last one.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Merry Chrysler. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Kwanzaa.
Joyous Kwanzaa. Yeah, Joyous Kwanzaa. Oh,
actually, and Happy New Year, you would say next episode, right? That doesn't make any sense. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be... Well, this comes out on New Year's Eve, which is funny. So enjoy this.
Are we not releasing
it's scheduled for the 31st.
We could also release it on Christmas.
I mean, we could also keep planning on the pod.
Yeah.
This is uninteresting. So all I wanted to say is I can't wait to see you guys in the new year, because that's when we're going to see each other next.
That's right.
Thanks for taking the plummet with us. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Later.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.